We welcome in the host of the Lowdown, Alan Mitchell. LT, what were you driving in 1985?
I was driving a Honda Prelude. It was a really nice. Oh. I wasn't cool or anything, but that's what I was driving.
Oh. It sounds nice.
It was a very good, if I had any style at all, I would have been cool, but I had
a Prelude. Nice. I wasn't old enough to drive then, but my parents had a sick Caprice.
Oh, nice.
With leather white seats. It's the cherry red. I still remember it. Thing was V8. It was unbelievable.
I bet it went like crazy.
Oh, seriously, that thing. Yeah. When my brother turned 16 and we got to drive it, I just looked forward to sitting in the passenger seat. It was unbelievable. Yeah, mom never drove that car like that, I'll tell you that. So, he was driving like the orders right now. They're just, they're down the road, Al. Old Negative Nelly here, Strutty doesn't like the fact that they're not dominating every moment of every game. And that's fair. They can't play with fire and be down all the time. But I just look at the Oilers' ability, two things. Defensively, but offensively, even though they're not generating a ton of shots, their support to one another, they're able, if they turn it over in the offensive zone, the other guy's close enough, they're able to create another turnover and get it back. That's probably been the biggest change I've seen offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason Greger. I'm a big believer in the math and the Corsi and the shot differential and all that stuff. But what I see is a team that even when they do turn it over, it doesn't turn into Chaos Incorporated. They have structure. They stay in their lanes. They're aggressive in the right spots. I'm not smart enough to know why the Tippett word gets through when the Hitchcock or the McClellan or whomever, or maybe it's the upgrades they've made in the roster. Certainly Ethan Bear helps, but there are fewer chaos moments, and when they do lose the puck, even if it's in a bad spot like at the opposition blue line, everybody hauls ass, and maybe that's part of it, but I'm telling you, the first game was a little wobbly. They were better the second game. The last couple of games, even the New Jersey game where they didn't perform terrifically well, they still had the structure, and that is impressive.
Okay. You know what, guys? I don't want to bring it up. I'm going to have to, because someone has to be the realist out of this threesome here. Well, counting Connor, I guess it's a foursome. And the listeners, that's another
lot of people. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on here. So I just agreed to come in here and be on the phone. I don't know. What did I get myself? Did we call the wrong number, dear?
Trust me, Struts has no idea what a threesome's like, okay? So let's just start there. Yeah,
guys, it's a long weekend, all right? So listen, I'm glad that you guys have got the rose-colored glasses on, but why am I the only person who's concerned about the way that they peaked against Islanders? The last game they did not have. Should I or should I not be concerned about what they bring tomorrow? Because if they go down any more, they're most likely to lose the game tomorrow against the Rangers.
Well, look, they can lose the game against the Rangers because of lots of reasons. The goalie lets in a couple, or they just, you know, they don't play well on morning games out east. But what, and I hate to bring up the past, but there were some chaos shifts back in a decade ago. Mm-hmm. When the Oilers got running around a decade ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago, that it was a disaster. Something bad was going to happen. What seems to be happening now is there's a breakdown and then there's a quick recovery. Everything kind of jolts back and gets back. So what I'm saying is that even though the possession numbers are important, and even on the fourth line, which has not played a lot, I just see that they seem to be going to better spots, and they're not going to have it every game. They don't play well. They probably didn't deserve to win against New Jersey, but if they can grab a point on a game where they're not playing well, I think it bodes really well, because this team has enough talent, I think, to win a game if they're playing well.
Yeah, you know, that actually, I really like the way you brought that up. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that, they are weathering the storm. You know, and I thought that to start the game, New Jersey came up pretty hard and they weathered a storm. A couple really nice saves early on from Mikko Koskinen. I can't remember if it was on the power play or 5-on-5, but a couple really nice starts and got it going there. So, you know, I guess what I'm looking for is, do they stay at that level or do they kind of get back up one notch? You know, and I'm not asking them to go to, you know, Stanley Cup level, but just kind of say, okay, guys, you know what? We got away with one here. We know we didn't have our A game, but can we take it from B to A game again? And knowing that there's a different gear there if we need to hit it.
Well, I think if you look at Nurse and Bear, Nurse had there was a sequence in the second period, I believe, where Nurse was just stopping everything. He looked like Chris Pronger out there for like a good long shift and maybe a little bit. The puck was coming into the neutral zone. He just flick it away and send it the other direction. Bear is looking good. That's one pairing that's solid. Now, I have not seen Pearson as good with Klefbom as Bear with Nurse.
Agreed.
That's my opinion.
I would agree.
Okay, so now maybe Pearson isn't the answer there, so you've got to change him out. On the Carroll line, I'm a big fan of Jajar Kara. I thought he played really well. I thought he played well enough against New Jersey, but his game has been a little bit wavering. So we've got to find out about these guys. Can Yurcho score? So those are but these are specific questions we're asking about players. The overall, the delightful thing right now is that the Oilers are, I think they're plus one in goal differential with McDavid on the ice, and I think they're minus one with him off the ice or something like that. And even if that just continues like that, with the penalty kill they have, the power play they have, and the goaltending they have, my goodness, that's an upgrade over last year by a lot.
Oh, it's not even close. What's interesting, and you bring up Jujhar Khaira, and I would agree. I thought his first two games he struggled. I think the last two games he's looked a lot better. And the thing is, though, where it ultimately matters is I look amongst the Oilers forwards, he's a guy that the coach really likes. And I'm just basing that on usage. Yeah. Like Jujhar Khaira right now has played the sixth most minutes of any forward, obviously behind Draisaitl, McDavid, Cassian, Nugent Hopkins, and Neal at 5-on-5. He's the sixth most. Then you look at him when it comes to overall penalty kill time, he's right behind Leon Draisaitl, number two. So there's a coach who's basically saying, here, guys, out of all my forwards, right now I'm looking at Jujhar Khaira as the sixth most reliable guy on my team. So I didn't like his games the first two, but I think he's really bumped up. And obviously, based on how the coach is using him, he's agreeing with it. He's liking it.
Yeah, and the coach loves his penalty kill. I can tell because Granlund is in the lineup for tomorrow. And quite frankly, at 5-on-5, he had one breakaway, and that's all I've seen.
Ugh,
but on the penalty kill, he's pretty effective. So I think the penalty kill. I think that the Tippett has decided that until he can get his 5-on-5 rolling four lines and finding out about Pearson, I think he's decided that he has to have a great penalty kill. And hopefully the power play will help them win games. And so far, they're doing pretty good at it.
Yeah, you know, as we're joined by Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. You can hear him every day on the station from 10 till 12 as he argues with a young scarecrow named Tyler Remchuk. when you're looking at this whole situation, Low Tide, with the specialty teams, I think it's massively important, just for every team, but specifically the Oilers, because then you're not trying to fight an uphill battle 5-on-5. Is that overstating what can be the impact of specialty teams?
Oh no! I like the Oilers. If you look at their last couple of years, they've had moments and they've had periods where one or the other is working. But the breakdown on the penalty kill for the last 36 months has been mostly bad. And you really do need that. You know, you need to have. If you go through Oilers history, they had really good penalty killing and solid defensive play, and usually, like, I always associate it with Charlie Huddy. But once Huddy left, I felt like they sort of spent a lot of years changing systems, changing up, and maybe changing too much, or maybe not you know, setting the course correctly on the penalty kill. They just looked like a disaster. Nobody was committed to it. Like, you have to be really active and moving your stick and almost like a demon on the forecheck and the penalty kill. And the Oilers they've got it again. And I think it's a matter of it's almost like a tentativeness, right? Like, you just have to pay attention and be really, really focused on everything, anticipate well. And the Oilers, I think the penalty kill right now looks as good as it has in a long, long time.
Don't you feel that if Granlund had scored on that breakaway, it might have just kind of unlocked him? Because I felt that was a turning point in the game if they had lost it.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point you make. They had and Granlund, I think he was going five hole, and it didn't happen, which is too bad because a veteran like that, he probably needs a goal. Of course, Hall missed. Was it two breakaways Hall missed on? Man, I think the Oilers got a break there because that guy is, like, I'm a big Hall fan, but he had the puck on the stick for a win probably three or four times, and the last time they cashed it, and then McDavid scored last minute. But the New Jersey Devils are, like, I almost feel bad for them. They haven't won in four games. Two of the games they should have won, the Winnipeg game and the game last night.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, it's early. They played better. What were your thoughts on Hughes?
You know what? I'll tell you, he wasn't with the puck as much as I thought he would be. You know, these number one overall picks usually, you know, they may not do a lot with the puck, but they have it more often. When he had it, I thought he looked really good. There was a sequence where he had it inside the Oilers zone, and he was doing the kinds of things that first overall picks do. But he wasn't as much a part of the game as I thought he would be. And maybe that's by design. Maybe the Devils want to bring him along because he's smaller, and they want to have him in very specific offensive situations. But he didn't have the impact that I think most number one overalls do.
When I watch him, honestly, Al, I think the best thing for him would be for the New Jersey Devils to send him to the CHL. I know he'd have to sign a contract, whatever. He can't go NCAA. I honestly think that would be better for him. I think it's going to be a tough year for him. I just think the NHL is a man's league, and as skilled as he is, obviously when there's open ice, you see his skating ability, no question. When I look at development, I won't be surprised if we see Jack Hughes injured for 10, 15, 20 games this year just because of the sheer size and strength of the opposition.
Yeah, and that's, you know what, I was always worried about Nuge that way. Now, Nuge was a different kind of player. He had real acumen without the puck. He could play, a lot of different parts of the game very well. But I, like you say, when he had the puck, you noticed him. But the usually the number one overall picks have a little more impact on the games when you see them. And I, you know, your point about CHL might be a good one. If he struggles, I don't think they'll Joel Thornton him. So he'll probably have to, you know, maybe find a job elsewhere for 6 months.
LT, have a good weekend. We will see if the Oilers can go 5-0 for the first time since 1985.
Tomorrow. I bet Strutty is cleaning up on his Manhattan bets about this game tomorrow.
Jeez. Yeah, we got his former analyst, Dave Maloney, will be joining us later, breaking down Strud's game and the Rangers.
Breaking down Strud's game. Can I get that on tape? I'd love to hear that.
I'll send you the tapes of my game.
Okay. Hey, I got that tourney shift for you. You want that one? I got that for you.
You know what? It's funny. Often when I go in the Oilers dressing room, someone will be like, hey, we were watching your 4-minute shift the other day. I'm like, oh my God. Thanks a lot. Like, that's just, I'm here to talk about that, and they're laughing about my 4-minute shift. Although it didn't get scored on.
No.
I don't know why it's so negative.
Well, because the forwards who had the puck, they were exhausted. They'd had the puck so long.
They didn't even touch it. I don't think Pizzani even touched the puck.
No,
he was
he's
out there
talking
for 2 minutes.
About Detroit's forwards.
Oh, no, those guys, I shut them down. Dad, how long do you want to stay out here, buddy? Dad, or get back out here.
All right, boys. You argue amongst yourselves. I'll send you the tapes.
Have a good one.